Welcome to Emil Franzi's Voices of the West, dedicated to the principle that America was better off when our TV shows featured cowboys instead of lawyers.
Well, of course they were. It just goes to stand to reason. I mean, hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. I'm Harry Alexander. Over on the other side of the table is...
That's me, Bunker DeFrank.
And somewhere in Los Angeles...
We hope.
Gentlemen, it is a great day to be with you both.
Thank you, sir.
He made it.
He made it.
He slid into home.
We are streaming live to you today from the White Stallion Ranch.
The beautiful.
Just northwest of Tucson. Beautiful place out here. If you've not been here, you really should. Check
you
them out.
You never know that on the other side of this mountain, the Tucson Mountains, is the metropolis of Tucson, which could fall off into the ocean and I'd be happy.
Well, we all have bets on that, but unfortunately, we've been losing a lot of money for that. So
yeah.
Anyway, it's a movie Saturday. That's why we're out here. And
oh, there's a cowboy dog.
That's either Gilly or no.
That's Ella making her presence known, although she's uninvited.
Of course,
and
she
has been disinvited many times.
Of course, Ella. She is.
Bite him on the leg.
Oh, she's a cute little dog. Anywho.
You want her?
I have cats bigger than she is.
Yeah, perfect.
Is that a dog or a mouse?
Right. Somebody to bully her.
I know.
Yeah. So I have to tell you that I'm coming to you today in the midst of jubilation.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It is Nola and I's 5th anniversary.
Well, congratulations.
Oh, awesome. Awesome.
Yes.
Are you celebrating crazily after the show?
Well, we've been celebrating since this morning. He has gifts and chocolate.
Ooh, doggies.
We just had a beautiful dinner.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I can't be happier.
Well, are you going to build a fire in the fireplace, pop a cork on the champagne, and stretch out on the bearskin rug?
Well, I did that once, and I took a picture. She wouldn't come over for a week.
All right.
But there's no fireplace here. But we might go to the brewery.
There you go.
Art walk tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Which is supposedly closing down in May. Oh. So this is the last hurrah.
They're leaving California.
That's too bad. Well, happy anniversary to you, Todd and Nola.
Thank you.
And many more.
And give our condolences to Nola for surviving 5 years with you.
She's listening.
Oh, she's listening.
Okay, our topic for today is Movie Saturday. We're doing westerns that changed the genre of how the western was presented. Exactly. We're not looking at your standard shoot 'em ups or anything like that. We're not looking necessarily at B movies, although there was a movie in the B movie period that really did change the genre.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that in just a bit. But before we get involved in that stuff, you've got your Bunker's Bunkhouse, do you not?
Yes, we do. Coming to you from Bunker's Bunkhouse is the good, the bad, and the bovine. As you all know by now, we start today, go back 3 days, go forward 3 days, and none of them have to make any sense.
They usually don't.
Wait a minute. That's my line.
Oh.
Okay, anyhow, we're going to start with April 22nd, 1864. In God We Trust.
Okay.
The U.S. Congress passed the Coinage Act, mandating the inclusion of the phrase on all newly minted coins. It first appeared on the 1864 2-cent piece.
Ah.
We need to bring back the 2-cent piece.
We need
to. And keep the penny.
Yeah, well. I don't care.
Nobody.
This reminds me of when the Vice President of the United States, the only one who was really much use of anything, stood on the floor of the Congress and filibustered and said, "What this country needs." is a good 5-cent cigar.
Yeah.
And he walked out. And you know what? The son of a bitch was right. That's another story. I'm sorry.
Okay. No, that's good. I like that because that's part of our history. And, you know, I don't smoke cigars, but I believe in the sentiment.
There you go.
Okay. Now, speaking of sentiment, April 23, 1791, James Buchanan Jr., 15th President of the United States, was born. He served from 1857 to 1861. He also served as the 17th U.S. Secretary of State from 1845 to 1849 and represented Pennsylvania in both houses of the U.S. Congress. He's the only president who never married, a lifelong bachelor, and maybe the smartest of all the presidents. Now, April 24, 1898, Spain, after first severing diplomatic relations with the United States, then on this date, 4/24/1898, declared war against the United States. The next day, in turn, Congress declared war on Spain.
El Stupidos.
Yes. Well, you know, they're like the Italians. They only drop the rifle once. That's on the way out. Okay. April 25.
Oh, golly.
That's today. But
bunker at voicesofthemessage@gmail.com.
Anyhow, on this day, April 25, but which is also this day today in 1826, 1846, the Thornton Affair was a battle between Mexican and American forces, 20 miles west upriver from Zachary Taylor's camp on the Rio Grande. American forces lost a much larger Mexican cavalry, giving justification to President James K. Knox's call to Congress to declare war, which was the beginning of the Mexican-American War. Mm-hmm. Pershing chased Pancho Villa all over the place and never caught him.
Mm-hmm.
April 26, 1865, Confederate. This is an interesting one. Confederate General Joseph E. Johnston surrenders remaining forces to Union General William T. Sherman at Bennett Place in Durham, North Carolina, ending the American Civil War. Not we surrendering at Appomattox.
Yeah, well, there were plenty of battles, plenty of fights after the surrender was signed, just like there were plenty of actions happening in Vietnam after the armistice was signed.
Well, you know,
there was a start and there was an end.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and what's interesting is it's just like today, you know. They didn't have the internet to tell everybody, hey,
that's right.
Go home.
Well, yeah, they
probably wouldn't anyway.
It took 6 months before the end of the end of the War of 1812 came from Europe. That treaty.
Yeah.
Anyway, you forgot an important date, at least in my.
Tell me my
view. April 23rd, 1984, the Florida Keys seceded from the United States.
That's
and
true.
Formed their own country called the Conch Republic. Now, the reason this happened, we salute with our left hands, not right hands. we mitigate trouble through humor. The impetus behind this was the government was inspecting vehicles going into and out of the Keys, claiming they were looking for illegal aliens. However, it's really tough to fit one of those fellas or ladies into your glove box. So
that's true.
They went to court.
Unless it's one of those little green ones.
I know. Well, see, there's only one road in and out. It's U.S. Highway 1.
When you're coming from outer space, it's beaming up and down.
And so what happened was they went to court. They lost their appeal in court. The government won. And the mayor came back and they said, what are you going to do? He says, we're going to secede. And I hereby declare this to be the Conch Republic.
Mm-hmm.
And every April, there's a huge celebration.
As well there should be.
As well there should be. I served very proudly as the commanding general of the Army.
I could see you in with your thumb pressed against your breastplate.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's kind of like Jerry England, you know, trying to succeed from L.A.
Yeah. Well, you know, people say you can't do that. Well, of course you can.
Of course you can.
And they did. And they issued passports. And they also tried to get membership in the United Nations, which was refused. But there were some countries that would allow.
Blessing, yeah.
I know. So there were some countries that would allow the Conch Republic passport.
There you go.
Anyway, Mexico, let's get to the topic.
Let's okay, well, okay. Well, let's get on to April 27, 1865. This is a really interesting and tragic day. The Sultana steamboat disaster was the deadliest maritime disaster in U.S. history, resulting in the death of 1,864 people. Many of them recently released Union prisoners of war, returning home from the Civil War.
Yep.
And it was all corruption that caused it.
Well, it usually does.
Yeah. Well, the steamboat was built to handle around 300 people.
Yeah, yeah.
And they had almost 3,000 on it.
Yeah, it must have been free fare. Tucson City Council was involved.
Yeah. Well,
that reminds me of back in the days we had a great hot dog spot out here in L.A. in the valley called the Wiener Factory.
Yeah.
And the Wiener Factory did not believe in art on the walls. They believed in sayings, quips, and prose.
Nice.
So you walked in there, and they were like almost painted on block lettering so you could read it. My three favorites are: the war between the sexes shall never be won as long as there is fraternization with the enemy. Number two, use parachute for sale, never open.
Dang.
But the third one is most apropos for what we're talking about. Don't steal. The L.A. City Council hates competition.
That's true. Okay, well, we're going to finish out the week with April 28, 1758. We have another American president. James Monroe was born. An American founding father, fifth president of the U.S., was the last of the founding fathers to serve as a president, as well as the last of the Virginia dynasty. Now, if you don't know what I mean by that, the Virginia dynasty basically was that the first five presidents were all from Virginia.
Imagine that.
Yeah. Maybe we should have gone back to that.
Well, I've done
it. He issued the Monroe Doctrine, which I think is one of the most important doctrines we ever had. He served in the Continental Army. He studied law under Thomas Jefferson. Happy birthday, Jimmy.
Alrighty. On to the topic at hand, Westerns, the evolution of the genre. And we're going to go back, I think, to start at, it's a good place to start, in 1939. Movie done by this director, John Ford. Called Stagecoach, John Wayne. Yeah, elevates the Western from the B-movie status, and it's storytelling. Imagine that.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to throw a curve at you guys, because I decided I was just going to do nothing but silence.
There you go.
And I got a little opening statement here. These silent westerns revolutionized the genre by introducing foundational filmmaking techniques, character archetypes, and narrative structure, evolving the genre from mere novelty to a cinematic powerhouse between 1903 and 1929. These films moved the genre away from simple cowboy versus Indian narrative to embrace themes of greed, industrialization, and complex, flawed characters. While the golden age of Westerns is often associated with sound films, the silent era established the visual language and archetypes that defined the genre for over a century. These films transitioned the Western from simple B-movie entertainment into a sophisticated art form capable of exploring American identity, history, and morality.
That was a mouthful. It certainly was, and I think that's pretty interesting, too. Todd, what do you got?
Well, I'm going to agree that the silence are a profound... They took it way beyond anything that Edison had in mind with the Grain Trayton robbery. Iron Horse, all of the Two Gun Bill films, William S. Hart films, the Tom Mix and all the rest of them, but those guys, those two in particular, Tom Mix and Two Gun Bill. And then, you know, I think that things definitely kind of had a false start. I know Bunker and I like this movie. There's a lot of people that like to criticize it. but it's not been really ever given a fair shake, which is the big trail.
Mm-hmm.
It brought spectacle on the level of a D.W. Griffith to the Western. And Raoul Walsh made a great picture. The studio, as usual, doesn't know what they're doing, so they put it in theaters that the sound wasn't correct for it, and several other mistakes. But it definitely changed the genre. It upgraded it in a tremendous way.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go to Stagecoach, which completely changes all genres. You know, it literally made a star of Wayne. It made Ford the superior director of the time. And, you know, it kind of reminds me of Indiana Jones, the original Indiana Jones, because that opening scene is so amazing.
Yeah.
You got to think that from that point on, the film's going to be anticlimactic. Mm-hmm. Well, if we think about Stagecoach, how could anything get better? But he only got better and only improved.
Yeah.
Well, I want to go right back. I thought Harry would bring this one, but because he didn't, I'm going to. And that is, of course, The Great Train Robbery.
Well, I was going to get to it, but I mean, okay, you go.
Well,
you
1903,
go. Yep.
It is regarded as the first narrative Western. It introduced parallel editing, on-location shooting, and action-focused storytelling. It led to the creation. It's not only that, but how things change. It led to the creation of the Nickelodeons, which were the first movie theaters.
Yeah. That and the Bronco Billy movies, I mean, any of those, you know, and...
Well, Bronco Billy, he's the first movie star, really.
Yeah.
And for probably one of the longest reigning and most productive.
Yep, very much so. Hey, we got to do our first commercial break here on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker DeFrance, and Todd Roberts with you. We are out at the White Stallion Ranch with a live stream, and it's Movie Saturday. We're talking about Westerns that changed the genre.
Arizona, the land of cattle, copper, and cowboys. It's also the true West, where a large number of Westerns were filmed. For your next vacation, come out to where Wyatt Earp made a name for himself as a highly respected sheriff. Stay where Jimmy Stewart filmed Winchester 73.
That would be the White Stallion Ranch. Situated in the mountains just northwest of Tucson, the White Stallion Ranch is an award-winning dude ranch with 43 guest rooms and the Hacienda. That's a 5-bedroom, 3-bathroom home, perfect for larger families, family reunions, and girlfriend getaways. Every guest room has a private patio with views of the cactus gardens, mountains, or corrals. Generous floor plans offer sunny, comfortable rooms, but you won't want to stay in your room. Outdoor activities are plentiful at the White Stallion Ranch. Horseback riding, hiking, shooting, archery, rock climbing, e-biking, and a weekly ranch rodeo are among the numerous activities that you'll enjoy on your ranch vacation. Go Western for your next getaway. The White Stallion Ranch. Book your vacation now online at whitestallionranch.com or call 520-297-0252.
This is Eb Wilkinson at Wilkinson Wealth Management. If you're within 10 to 15 years of retirement and you're putting off retirement planning, my advice to you is don't do that. Ignoring your retirement planning won't make it go away. It'll just make it worse. Give me a call and let's work on your plan together so you can retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
The Tucson Trap and Ski Club is one of the best-kept economic secrets in town. This 900-member group maintains one of the finest shotgun shooting ranges in the country, featuring trap, skeet, five-stand, and sporting clays fields, and hosts national and international events that bring thousands of people and millions of dollars into our community. The Spring Satellite Grand American Tournament alone involves 1,200 participants for 10 days. Learn more about this and their other contributions to our community at TucsonTrapAndSkeet.com.
Maybe you didn't understand me, young fellow, when I told you to get out of town yesterday. I'm going to try and make myself clearer. Now, you get out and stay out.
Well, where am I going to go? I ain't got a job.
Well, that ain't my worry. Now, get out.
What have you got against me, mister?
Oh, nothing in particular. And everything in general. Now get.
This is the Voices of the West.
Yippee-i-yo-ki-yay, yippee-i-yo-ki-yay, I'm an old cowhand from the Rio Grande, and I sing the songs in the cowboy band.
We're back on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker de France, Todd Roberts in Los Angeles, and we're streaming to you live at the White Stallion Ranch, northwest of Tucson. And hey, it's Movie Saturday. We're talking about westerns that changed the genre.
Yeah,
big time. Here's another one. In 1952, it was High Noon. And as they state here, that it introduced real-time storytelling, shifting the focus to internal anxiety and the personal political responsibility of the hero rather than just the action. And that's very true. It was lots of introspective. Thank you. Okay, now he busted it. Now he busted it. And you break it, you buy it. Todd, anything you want to throw in there about High Noon?
Well, I mean, we've done a show on High Noon.
Yeah.
Obviously with Michael Blake.
Yeah.
And, you know, all the turbulence that Carl Foreman was going through. You know... I'm not trying to belie or downplay Stanley Kramer's influence and or involvement, but it's a lot of that story, the day-to-day workings of that script is pushed by Carl Foreman's experiences in the House of Un-American Activities at the time.
Yeah.
And it's a very personal story, but it tells many, many stories. Between, you know, the story of standing up for yourself, your honor, the wife who's a Puritan who is abhors violence and tries to stop it. That's not, you know, her line is, violence, it's not going to solve anything. Let's just ride away.
Yeah.
You don't think they have horses and they're going to come after you? Number one. Number two, everybody abandons him. You know, you do all this for people. Thomas Mitchell, the great actor who's also in Stagecoach, and how he says, you know, Will Kane's done a lot for this town, and we can't forget him.
Yep.
But, Will, please don't let the door hit you on the way out. you know, and the judge looking at him and saying, you know, as he rides off to try to get away from the bad guys, you know, he looks at Will Kane and his brand-new bride, and he goes, what a waste. What a waste. And he just rides off. The whole film is so complex. It's so much more than... what people want to give it credit for. It's almost like a noir western without saying that it's a noir western, because the bad guys are really thick. You know, none of them, when they get it, do you feel bad. In fact, you have a little bit of a smile.
Mm-hmm. Chuckle.
And I think that changes the western in a way that, you know, yeah, Howard Hawks hated it, and John Wayne didn't like it, but he accepted the Oscar for his friend Gary Cooper. Hawks said it's a despicable film because, you know, this professional lawman's walking around town asking for help. That never would have happened. Well, we know that's not true. We know that it didn't happen. And we also know that most of the people in that film served in the... a lot of the men served in the Civil War. They had experience with firearms. Yep. They weren't afraid of some outlaws.
Nope.
My God, they shot up the Doolins. They shot up the Daltons.
Yeah.
They shot up the James Younger gang. I mean, how many other examples do we want to use?
Sure.
And in response, Hawk says, I hate this film so much, I'm going to go make three films, all in protest of it.
There you go.
With John Wayne.
Yeah.
And that's fine. That's fine. And they're great films, and I love all three of them. But I think that High Noon sets a bar that's really high. It had huge influence all over Eastern Europe under the Soviet bloc. Poland, it's looked at as a monumental film in Polish film going, if you want to say. There were special posters made. I love this film, and it's not hard to understand why Billy Bob Thornton has to watch it once a week.
That's when he's sober.
Here's another one, and
I want to have one little comment.
I'll throw in there,
and that's because it's an overlooked scene, I think, in the movie, and that's Lon Chaney, the old sheriff, and
Bucker, I couldn't agree with you more. I forgot to mention it. It's amazing, that scene.
It's such sadness and grief and reality. He's telling Will Kane, this is the reality, and it's my favorite scene in the movie.
How about The Searchers? That's a movie that all three of us think is like right up there, number one position with a bullet. And I mean, it's a psychologically dark, racist, morally ambiguous protagonist questioning the civilizing myth of the West. A damn fine movie.
You said it all, because it's one of my favorites.
But it's racist from both sides.
Sure it is, yeah.
In my opinion, it's racist from every side.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And there's only one guy in the film that finds his humanity. The other side that's racist does not find their humanity.
They never do.
And that's John Wayne, who finds his humanity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And tries to forgive.
Yep.
And does forgive.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to do a little... I'm going to just mention one real quickie. This one is not a giant genre changer, but it followed the Great Train Robbery a year later. It was called The Little Train Robbery.
Oh, great movie.
And it was a parody, and it was a spoof.
Yeah.
Before Blazing Saddles.
Yeah, directed by Edwin Porter.
The same guy that directed
the original.
Same crew.
Yeah.
But it's little kids playing all the grown-up parts, and I've watched it. It's fun to watch.
They even have a little train that
gets
robbed. It's a fun movie.
Yeah. Now I want to talk a little more serious here. This is The Life of a Cowboy, 1906. It's an early example of using on-location filming to add authenticity, and this film shows the grit, the long hours, the deep connection to the land and the livestock. It's almost documentary in its storytelling, but it's just amazing film. Now, I want another one here. Let's see, which is this? This is The Red Man's View. Okay, I lost the sheet on that one. The Squaw Man. This is a very important one. 1914, directed by Cecil B. DeMille. Was first feature-length film shot in Hollywood. That in itself is very important. Its massive success, and other reasons, helped shift the center of film industry from New York to California, forever linking the Western genre with the Hollywood landscape. The other thing being, just think about it, if they hadn't moved it, The Searchers would have been shot in New Jersey.
And before I go any further, apologies to our live stream listeners. Apparently, I don't have equipment hooked up correctly, and that's why you're not hearing Todd.
Oh, somebody let you know?
Yeah. And
thank you for letting us know.
Yeah, I appreciate that, but it really pisses me off that I can't get this damn thing figured out. Anyway, one that I want to throw in there that I think was a genre changer is 310 to Yuma, the original, with Glenn Ford. I mean, Glenn Ford, holy mackerel, is he a bad man?
A nice, likable bad man.
Yeah, very psychological. It's a film noir, and Elmore Leonard wrote the book.
Yes. We were distracted.
Yeah, very distracted.
Now we just went by.
Shoo. Anyway, where was I? Who?
You were.
Where am I?
You were. I don't know where I am now.
Anyway.
Street Interview. Yeah.
It's really, really good. Highly recommend. The remake of it, I watched the remake, and I have to ask, why does it need to be remade?
Well, that's a great question, because I have no problem with remakes. The problem I have is when the remake is not as good or worse than the first one. The remake was interesting. If it had never been made before, it would have been an okay Western, but it wasn't Pretend to Yuma.
No, it was not.
No.
It was
okay.
Not.
Now, here's a giant for you. This is a giant. The Virginian.
Oh, yeah.
1914. It defined the code of the West. It was based on Owen Leister's novel. It established the chivalrous cowboy archetype who must choose between his friend and the law. And this is a theme recycled in, as Todd mentioned, High Noon, and also in Shane. It was directed by Cecil B. DeMille. Dustin Farnham was the Virginian, and he did a pretty darn good job, I thought.
Farnham was a great silent actor. He could do virtually any role and do it really well. I mean,
that's back when that's when they had faces.
The faces.
And also,
we didn't need dialogue. We had faces.
That's right.
And
no,
you know, the other thing too, these were all people that, you know, the Western wasn't something in the dim, murky past.
Yeah.
This was something that they grew up in.
Yeah.
We were from that era.
See, that's why I think silent movies are so important, especially watching a Western silent, because there probably was no wardrobe except theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And no props except theirs.
Well, you know, you think about this. The 30B Westerns, especially you watch the Cassidys, all the Bar 20 guys.
Yeah.
Those are the guys they wore home. They wore down to the bar after work.
Yep.
And the women wore, and that's the funny thing, and you see that up through the 40s even, the women a lot of times were wearing the fashion of the day.
Yep.
Because they didn't have wardrobe.
Yep. All right, we got to do our next commercial break here. On Emil Franzi's Voices of the West, it's Harry Alexander, Bunker de France, and Todd Roberts with you. Streaming from the White Stallion Ranch, and it's Movie Saturday. We'll be right back.
Can you even imagine switching back to pen and paper to run your business? Every year, we become more and more dependent upon our technology. If your network is not set up properly, you're just one click or one email away from losing data critical to your operation. Arizona Computer Guru offers a host of services to prevent and protect you from disaster. From online backup services to email filtering to fully managed network services, Arizona Computer Guru is here to keep your network secure, your data safe, and your budget in the black. To schedule your free consultation, call 304-8300.
This is Eb Wilkinson at Wilkinson Wealth Management. If you're within 10 to 15 years of retirement and you're putting off retirement planning, my advice to you is don't do that. Ignoring your retirement planning won't make it go away. It'll just make it worse. Give me a call and let's work on your plan together so you can retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
The Tucson Trap and Ski Club dates from 1948 and is now at 7800 West Ole Ajo Highway. The club owns 80 acres and leases 300 more from Pima County that supports 50 trap fields, 15 skeet fields, 2 5-stand fields, 2 sporting plays courses with 12 stations each, a 9,000-square-foot clubhouse, 200 full-service RV hookups for members, and free Wi-Fi. This expansive facility gives enough room to host major national and international events annually, bringing thousands of people to the community. Check it out at TucsonTrapAndSki.com.
Hello, my name is Travis Mills, and I make Westerns, and you're listening to Voices of the West.
We're back on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker de France, Todd Roberts, streaming from the White Stallion Ranch, just northwest of Tucson. Movie Saturday, we are talking about Westerns that changed the genre. And before I get back to what we were doing, watched a movie last night, some B-movie. I don't remember. It was Fred Scott, I think, was in it. But anyway, there was a horse in there who refused to look at the camera, did not want any part of the camera, and I thought of my friend Bunker de France.
I trained that horse.
I get more shots if he can't find me.
Yeah. Hey, I've got one for you.
All right.
This is one I think everybody will agree. Hell's Hinges.
Oh, yeah.
1916. Starred William S. Hart.
Yep.
Moving away from idealized cowboys, portray a grittier, more complex anti-hero, the good bad man. It ranks with Cecil B. DeMille's 1914 version of The Virginian as the most famous of the early westerns. And it is. It's just, just looking at stills of that gives you goosebumps.
It's a hell of a movie, and if you've not seen it, you can find it on the YouTube, and just watch it because it's just so damn good.
And I'm going to throw this one at you here. This one is borderline genre changing, but I think it's a good example of the ones that a lot of them do it, but you don't know it. It's Straight Shooting, 1917.
Harry Carey.
It was five reels, Universal Butterfly Production. A guy named Jack Ford directed it. And it starred Harry Carey, Molly Malone, Duke Arlene, Lester Pegg, Hoot Gibson, George Will, Ted Roker, Milt Brown, William Gellinger. And the reason I threw that in there was that it was one of the early films where Ford started having an ensemble company. And that in itself, you can see it as it pays off, especially in the B-Westerns. As a footnote, Ford and Gibson were roommates.
Yes, they were. I watched on the YouTube last night this program I'd been wanting to watch. It wasn't very well done, but that's okay. It was a visit to Harry Carey's ranch, and
they covered the flood.
Yeah, they covered the flood. All they could do was see the outside of the ranch, the ranch house and grounds and such that weren't allowed in. But got to go there, Todd.
Absolutely, we got to go. It's now a park.
Yes, yeah.
It's an interesting thing is a lot of folks don't realize, I can't remember which tribe it was. It was one of the Plains Indian tribes that they had a permanent camp right there.
Navajo.
No, it wasn't the Navajo. It was the Plains Indians.
Really? I thought it was.
I did think it was Navajo as well. In fact, they had a store there selling their goods.
Yeah, well, maybe it was
Navajo trading post selling rugs and beads.
Yeah, he had a full blown. He gave them all a platform.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I stand corrupted.
All right. Very good. All right. Let's move up here because time is of the essence.
Oh, I got so many.
I know you do.
But that's all right. I will kill anyway.
Right. Let's go to 1964. Something interesting happened in 1964. Western movie.
For 2 years.
Let's see, Western movie wise.
I know.
The spaghetti Western.
Pasta
Western. Yep, Man with No Name. Wow.
He didn't have a name?
No, well, Clint Eastwood's his name. But
you know, he had three names in each movie. But they were like nicknames, so they don't really count.
Fistful of Dollars from 1964, man. What a movie. Followed by The Wild Bunch in 1969. Good God Almighty. That is, you want gratuitous violence, you'll find it there.
Oh, talk about changing the genre. The slow motion.
Oh, man.
You
know, Peckinpah at his best. Peckinpah at his best.
Yeah.
And Bo Hopkins' line, "You can kiss my sister's black cat's ass."
And the cat is backing up.
And we had him on the show.
We did before he passed.
He was a good friend.
Yeah.
I knew him out in California. I want to cover The Covered Wagon again.
All right.
1923, directed by James Cruise. This was the first truly epic Western. It moved beyond simple saloon fights to tell the story of pioneers on the Oregon Trail. It proved that Westerns could be high budget prestige blockbusters. An interesting side note, Colonel Tim McCoy that brought him into the movies, he was the technical advisor, and he recruited the Native Americans, that was the Northern Cheyenne, to appear in the movie. And I love that movie. That's,
I yeah, it's a great movie, covered wagon.
It's a forerunner of Western epic. Follows a wagon train as it fights Indians and the elements.
Mm-hmm.
Beautifully filmed for the first time of many historical events that were put on film without gimmick or special effects. Like the original pioneers had done, the acting was very non-silent film style. Very natural.
Yeah, and that's how it's supposed to be, isn't
it? That's what it is. I guess we're very natural. All natural.
All natural. Okay.
So, yeah. I got to throw out to you, Leone in general changed the genre.
Right, Leone.
As we said. And the reason, and the unique thing about how he changed it was instead of doing revolutionary things by going forward, he hearkened back to the past. As he said, I'm an unadulterated thief.
Mm-hmm.
I steal from every director I like.
Sure.
John Ford,
yep.
William Wyler,
yep.
Doesn't matter. So he took images that had been pressed upon our psyche in film and recreated them in his films.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, paying homage to all the great directors he liked.
Yeah.
That's why he called his version of movie making cinema cinema. It's cinema about cinema.
Interesting. Interesting. Sergio Leone.
I'll also say that, and let me just get this one out of the way because it's self-serving, but I think that Monty Walsh changed the genre.
Yeah,
definitely. It brought it back to realism.
The hero doesn't ride off into the sunset with the girl.
No.
Everything goes wrong. He survives, and that might be a worse scenario than if he had been killed himself.
Mm-hmm. Which in the book he does die. What was that?
That was Todd. I think I lost
him. He's riding down the street, but he's so old, he's just about to go.
Yeah.
Well, I want to do one that I know we'll all agree on this one. The Iron Horse, 1924. This is one of Harry's favorites. John Ford's first major Western and a foundational epic about building the Transcontinental Railroad.
Mm-hmm.
It established the nation-building theme in Westerns. It defined Ford's visual style of vast poetic landscapes, and it cemented the Western as a tool for American myth-making, and it set the standard for large-scale Western narrative using the vast American landscape as a character. And, again, it's like that. I don't know how many movies used the footage from that, because it was just such a...
Yeah,
what's going on?
We've lost our connection.
Lost Todd?
Yeah, I've lost everything.
Stanley, the show is off the air.
We're still going, but
Okay, let's see. What do we got next here then? Oh, we got Tumbleweeds. Yes, Tumbleweeds. Another William S. Hart film. It was his farewell, and it's famous for its depiction of the Oklahoma land rush. It is sprawling, chaotic action sequences that set a technical standard for how to film large-scale movement and stampede. It's a nostalgic, realistic look at the final frontier land rushes. And again, it's one of those movies you can watch it over and over and over.
And you should, because it's that good.
Oh, here's a quote from it. Boys, this is William S. Hart. Boys, it's the last of the West.
Yeah. All right. Let's see.
I got another one to throw in there.
Please do.
Two kind of off the beaten path. Little Big Man, I think, changed the genre because it shows, that there are good guys and bad guys on every side. There was injustice on every side. There was racism on every side. And this poor guy just gets caught in the middle of it on every turn.
And it humanized the American Indian.
Humanized the American Indian, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Another one that I think even more so humanizes the American Indian is A Man Called Horse, with Richard Harris.
I think the first one
mainly, but the second one does too. You know, of course, A Man Called Horse is a recreation of Cornel Wilde's film The Naked Prey, which was originally a real true story, adventure story of a guy who survived being in the West in the 1820s. He and his whole party captured by Indians. They killed each guy differently, and then they allowed him to. They said, "You run, and we'll chase you and kill you."
Right.
Well, he did survive. It made them human.
I want to go back to an even earlier version of that. It was a wagon train episode. Man Called Horse. Albert Sahmi played it, and I think it was Maria Sandoz's short story. And it stayed so close to the actual story.
Wow.
And there was very little of the wagon train cast in it.
Interesting.
But yeah.
So I got another one.
All right.
We've overlooked it. It's monumental. Is Shane.
Shane from 1953.
It truly epitomizes the bad guy. I don't think we have a better example of the bad guy ever than Jack Wilson, played by Jack Palance.
Jack Palance is scary enough.
You're right. And this is just downright evil.
Yeah.
Evil. And I think that it talks a lot about that, you know, the same themes of The Searchers, where, you know, once our shining a knight in shining armor's job is done, he's got to move on. His life is not his own. His life is that of where he needs to be, wherever there is injustice, if he can cure it.
That, you know, you can go with Shane and compare that to No Country for Old Men, because that also talks about the incomprehensible nature of evil.
You know, there's another, another
and the
thing
lack
in
of
Shane,
humanity that people have.
Yeah. There's another thing in Shane, too, that I can't remember his last name, email, but he plays Riker. And that's when the scene,
Riker is,
when he's explaining why he's so opposed to it. And you almost sympathize with him.
Yep. Okay, we got to do our final commercial break here on Amo Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker to France, Todd Roberts with you. Streaming from the White Stallion Ranch, it's Movie Saturday. We'll be right back.
Arizona, the land of cattle, copper, and cowboys. It's also the true West, where a large number of Westerns were filmed. For your next vacation, come out to where Wyatt Earp made a name for himself as a highly respected sheriff. Stay where Jimmy Stewart filmed Winchester 73.
That would be the White Stallion Ranch. Situated in the mountains just northwest of Tucson, the White Stallion Ranch is an award-winning dude ranch with 43 guest rooms and a hacienda. That's a 5-bedroom, 3-bathroom home, perfect for larger families, family reunions, and girlfriend getaways. Every guest room has a private patio with views of the cactus gardens, mountains, or corrals. Generous floor plans offer sunny, comfortable rooms. But you won't want to stay in your room. Outdoor activities are plentiful at the White Stallion Ranch. Horseback riding, hiking, shooting, archery, rock climbing, e-biking, and a weekly ranch rodeo are among the numerous activities that you'll enjoy on your ranch vacation. Go Western for your next getaway. The White Stallion Ranch. Book your vacation now online at whitestallionranch.com or call 520-297-0252.
This is Eb Wilkinson of Wilkinson Wealth Management, where we manage money for gun owners. When people turn 50, something miraculous happens. They start to get serious about retirement planning. They've done very well so far and want to be certain they power into the retirement they've earned. Let me guide you to retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911 That's 777-1911.
Hello, I'm Mr. Red.
No doubt you've heard about rescue groups for dogs and cats, but did you know there's a rescue group for horses? That's right, it's called Horse It Around Rescue. Founders Steve Boyce and Teresa Worrell are helping out all those equine victims of neglect and cruelty by giving them a place to restore their health and wellness. And Horse It Around provides a nurturing and natural environment where horses can be horses, so they can be adopted out into forever homes. More than 120 horses, mules, and donkeys have been adopted out, but like everything else, it costs money to run the project. Horse It Around is a 501c3 nonprofit located in Southeast Arizona. Your tax-deductible donations to Horse It Around will go a long way so those horses can be horses. Check out the website, horseitaroundrescue.org. Make a difference in a horse's life. That's horseitaroundrescue.org.
Besides bringing millions a year into this community with national and international events, the Tucson Trap and Skeet Club at 7800 West Old Ajo Highway services the local shooting sports community with a 380-acre site featuring trap, skeet, five stand, and two sporting clays fields, as well as a 9,000-square-foot clubhouse, which all is available to local shooters, and soon, an archery range. Check it out at TucsonTrapAndSkeet.com or take a drive out west of town and see it for yourself. New members or single-day use, welcome.
Why did you come here?
I have an idea. We can be of some help to each other.
In what way?
You want Fuzzy's ranch? I want money.
You're plenty cold-blooded about it.
I've learned you have to be cold-blooded or be a sucker.
This is the Voices of the West.
My yellow rose of Texas packed up left this morning. I don't know where she's gone, and most of all, I don't know why. I only know I've got the blues. I've never been this lonesome. It's enough to make a man lay down and die. Lone Star beer and Bob Wills music. When I hear faded love, I feel at home.
Yeah, you never go wrong with Lone Star Beer and Bob Wills music, man. I'll tell you.
You know,
that's the great Red Steagall, a friend of this show as well.
You remember Billy Beer?
Yep, I do.
That was Lone Star. They just put a different label on it.
Can't believe
that. Yeah. Okay. Wild anyway, Horse Mesa.
Anyway, we're back on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West, and we're running out of time here, but
Wild Horse Mesa, this is an important one.
Okay, we're doing Westerns for Movie Saturday that changed the genre. Go, Bunker.
This one really did. Wild Horse Mesa, 1925. It solidified the popularity of Zane Grey stories, influencing the romance of the West. One of the first films of classic Zane Grey stuff, a rare glimpse into the greatness of silent film. But the importance is, this is the film, and the next year, Riders of the Purple Sage came out, and that established romance, the cowboy kissing the girl instead of the horse, maybe. And but it's you know, and you look, there are more Zane Grey stories made into Westerns than even Louis L'Amour.
Yeah. So did Roy Rogers kiss Trigger or?
Well actually, there's no tongue. No tongue.
Well, we know he didn't kiss him because we know the story of Roy Rogers out to lunch with Burt Reynolds.
Yeah,
and
God,
I can't tell that story on the air.
No, you can't.
But I can trust, you can trust us that he didn't kiss Trigger.
Yeah.
Let me throw out three that really, really
okay, quickly.
Kind of shook the world.
All right, first one.
First one is the Oxbow Incident.
Yes, definitely.
It's just,
another noir.
I don't know any other way to say it, but it's a real serious gut punch.
Yep.
It's political and honest.
Yeah.
Cinematography is excellent. The writing is excellent. All of it is right there. Westward the Women,
number two.
Robert Taylor.
What a great movie that was.
Well, and
the concept throws
the genre on fear because it says women can do this. They did do it. They will do it.
Yeah, yeah. That was
Ride the High Country.
Oh, and Ride the High Country. Yes, definitely.
Because other than that, it's just great. The cinematography is great. The bad guys are great. Everybody's great. But Peckinpah decides to throw a curveball to the studio and say, I'm going to make a Western, and I'm going to go back and find the two oldest fogies I can. And they're like, well, wait a minute. Why don't you put young guys in it? He's like, that's the whole point.
Yeah.
Genius. Mm-hmm. Go sell some more popcorn.
Yes.
And then the last one, which is really earth-shattering on many levels, is Tombstone.
Tombstone, yeah. Justice is coming.
Well, it is
coming.
It explores the genre in a different way. It explores the story of that story in a different way. But the other thing it did is it caused an absolute fashion explosion.
That's right.
We were talking about that before we went
Westerns
to the
wardrobe.
Because the Western I watched last night, really good Western called A Gunfighter's Deal, released last year. The costuming is great, but everybody's got flat brimmed hats. No.
Well,
it was a bargain. They were on sale.
Even our studio audience, Barb Whitus, is wearing a flat-brimmed hat. I mean, what's up with the flat-brimmed hat?
She's fashionable.
Well, they wore flat-brimmed hats, but they wore other hats, too. But there were a lot of flat-brimmed hats.
I know.
And there were more derbies than any other hat.
You buy your hat, you pull it out of the box in the store, you put it on your head, and you let it...
And get it going.
It gets rained on. You
actually change with age. But the way we know it really influenced dress codes was it literally set the entire cowboy action shooting world on its ear. It turned it over, and all of a sudden there was this explosion, and all these guys were running around just like Wyatt Earp and Doc Holliday and the Clantons, it was like a revolution. It was amazing.
Yeah. Okay, I've got two quick ones for us here.
Very quickly.
Okay, because they got to be done. Three Bad Men, John Ford, and the winning of Barbara Worth. It's a Ford standout. This film began to play with the idea of outlaws as sympathetic people, sacrificial heroes. Mm-hmm. It refined the buddy dynamic, and it would become a staple of later Westerns and all the cop movies made ever since. Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid is a good example. It was a turning point since it intersperses elements of drama and endearing comedy. Ford looks at the conquest of the West through the small end of his telescope, putting the human and the individual in the foreground. And another footnote on that is the Indians are there, but they're standing on the edge of the frame watching all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And then the winning of Barbara Worth, 1926.
Yeah, that's a good movie too.
This high-budget production focused on the battle to tame the desert through engineering and irrigation. It is remembered for its impressive special effects, which is another first there, specifically a chromatic flood sequence that demonstrated the West as a battle against nature itself, the great American desert as unconquerable.
It's good stuff, fellas. Good stuff. I have a Western to recommend.
We can't close out because we don't have a question for our guests, so what? I'll throw this out to you. Okay. We need to also honorably mention Anthony Mann.
Oh, yeah.
We changed the Western by creating it as a film noir in the West.
And then lastly,
the film I keep harping on, I know I never shut up about it, but it's to me, it's the best written script one of the best I've ever read and watched on film, which is Hombre with Paul Newman.
Paul Newman.
And also Once Upon a Time in the West.
You know, we're probably just going to have to do another shot at this.
I can go into the talking era.
Yeah, talking era.
There you go.
Highly recommended Western to watch for everybody. It's on Amazon Prime, and I believe you can find it on Tubi streaming platform. It's called A Gunfighter's Deal. It was released last year, and here's the synopsis. In his darkest days, Silas Johnson gets a visit from a mysterious man who promises to make him the fast gun draw that he has always wanted to be. Oh, great movie. Great movie. You watched that last night. And unfortunately, that's all the time we have for now. We do not have anything planned for next Saturday, so stay tuned on that one.
Okay.
There we go.
78, 79. 80 O's, all you change changers and danger changers and gender changers.
No, don't go there.
And changing your underwear, and it's it. It's over.
Thanks for listening to Emil Franzink's Voices of the West.